This is your host, Jeff.
You want me to be sexy as well?
If you can.
This is your host, Andrew. Welcome to Super Good Question. Shit, I spoiled it. Do you know what that was?
No.
Wait, I wasn't recording. Let me play that for the audience because I spoiled it accidentally. Ready?
It sounds like Chief Wiggum.
Okay. Ralphie.
All right. I wish I didn't have to do this backwards, but here is the title for that sound. Researchers say they've mimicked the voice of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy by recreating much of its vocal tract using medical scanners, 3D printing, and an electronic larynx. This is the first reconstruction of an ancient human voice.
No shit. Because why? And how do you know that that's in any way accurate?
Oh my god.
And why does it sound like Chief Wiggum?
I just love that, like, they had to know that they're making the most stereotypical mummy sound that you could ever make. Why did they not make it?
Yeah. If that was the real sound it made, they all should have been like, guys, we can't release this.
Exactly.
We'll get roasted.
It is the real sound. It's exactly what they released. Wait. They sat in a room. The scientists sat around a conference table, listened to that noise, and were like, write the motherfucking press release.
We finally have hard evidence. Mummies were scary as fuck. That movie, The Mummy, nailed it. Somehow they knew.
So real. Oh my god. So imagine me reading that title first and then hitting play on the sound. I was crying laughing.
It either sounds like Chief Wiggum being disappointed or those, like, the, you know, the little tubes that kids yes. have when you turn over and they moo or they make a ghost sound at Halloween.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm a mummy. Boom.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't do any of what they said they did. I feel like
yeah, digital larynx. Right.
sure. They put it they wrote the title and then some guy came in with a box of things and one of them was one of those up and down toys.
What will people believe is the sound of an ancient mummy recreated digitally?
Why?
Also, what benefit, like, could this potentially have?
I was trying to think of a super good question around,
like, if only we knew what their voices sounded like, we could X.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. Like, why did we do this?
My question list was like, the first one was like, should we do this? Like, what? Yeah.
Okay, do everything that you did to make that version for the mummy, do that to a modern person and compare.
Oh my god. Yeah, exactly. They must have scanned other larynx. Like, did they test it against real voices? I want that data.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Why did they make him why did they make him say that though?
Did they have a choice? Or
just do you think that they don't, like, can they not articulate the sound at all?
I don't know.
All, like, they can get is like a tone.
Who knows?
And man. That tone is.
They don't have the technology to create a digital mouth yet. They can only do a digital larynx and blow fake wind through it. That's what you get, okay?
It's just so...
When we 3D print this stupid mummy's head and make a digital tongue for him, maybe then we'll have some real answers.
Do you think it's the first step in bringing mummies back to life? Like,
why did we start with the larynx?
Is this just like prophecy coming true? Is this the mummy that's going to be the first mummy?
I hope so.
We get his voice is here now and they're just going to keep going.
I mean,
you're absolutely right though. Yeah. Why were they like a voice? What do we need to do here first, boys?
Yeah.
Let's make a mummy.
Yeah.
We're bringing this guy back from the dead. What's the most important thing?
Well, if he pops up, what's he going to do if he can't talk? He's got to go.
That's a good point. We want him to communicate off the bat. So if he's just a larynx to start, we won't miss anything.
That's actually a valid argument. Now he can tell you how to piece the rest of him back together.
Yeah, so true.
Remember how we have a phone number?
The telephone.
Yeah, people can call and leave us messages.
Do people even do that?
A lot of hang-ups on the voicemail lately. I actually didn't have... It's like a virtual voicemail box. I wasn't logged into it on my phone accidentally. And I went in it and we had like 14 voicemails and I got really excited. Almost all of them hang-ups.
One was a wrong number.
Here's a real one though.
Thank you for that, dear fan.
You're the one that hates cilantro. I'm neutral on it though. I don't know why they're mad at me.
Oh, there is no neutral cilantro. You love it or you hate it. And yes, I hate it.
So people say that it smells like or tastes like soap if you're one of the people that hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
I would not describe it as a soapy taste.
Yeah.
But it's as gross as putting soap in your mouth would be. It's on that level of disgust.
Yeah. I think we've talked about like obviously we did talk about it. That's why they called in and left that message. But like I feel like she shouldn't be mad at me cuz I said it's fine. So she's mad at you.
I guess she's obviously angry at you for not
defending it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry, fan. It's not that great. I don't know what to tell you.
It doesn't make sense to me that given the number of people, it seems to be like 50-50-ish.
Yeah.
And given, even if it was like 30-70, like 70% of people liked cilantro.
Yeah.
But 30% of people, it totally ruined everything for their whole day.
Yeah.
Like you would still probably
not
have
serve
a better
it.
Time just not serving it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I don't think so. I know people say that it's a love or hate thing, but I truly don't love it. But I don't care if it's there or not. The only thing I don't like about it is that it's strong and you notice it. Like when something has cilantro in it, I take a bite, there's like an overwhelming, maybe people are just putting too much cilantro on the things that I'm eating with cilantro, but like I'm just like, oh, that has cilantro in it for a second, you know?
Yeah,
but it doesn't enhance it to me at all. It's like a very neutral flavor.
That's weird.
It's just strong, you know?
It's strong yet it's neutral. You're the worst food critic.
I don't think that's...
You need to watch Iron Chef.
I don't think that's
and
that
Jamie
crazy.
Oliver.
Strong, whether the flavor is strong doesn't change whether it's like neutral or acidic or, you know.
But you have no feelings one way or the other.
I don't have feelings one way or the other. You're right. That would make me a bad food critic of any food. But... cilantro specific. I do feel that way about other things, other foods.
What's the most neutral food there is?
So my favorite food is mashed potatoes, and it might be why, but I don't think so, because I love different things in mashed potatoes, but the potatoes themselves are pretty neutral.
That's true. They can be extremely neutral.
They're more a vessel for
gravy.
Yeah,
they're a substrate for other goodies.
Yeah, I've had great mashed potatoes, though, that don't need anything on them.
In that case, the yumminess was chopped so fine
and
in such perfect solution with the potato that you didn't even notice it.
Okay, so the potatoes that are on, like, a TV dinner or, like, at Swiss Chalet but with no sauce, those are the most neutral those are the most neutral food.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I would say.
Unsalted, plain mashed potatoes.
It's literally just, there's no flavor other than potato, which is not that strong a flavor.
No, nothing's ever been potato flavored other than a potato.
That's very true. That would be so horrible, though. Like, imagine a potato lollipop.
The one thing that we have the most flavors for are potato chips.
Yeah, because
there's
the plain ones. I don't get how people eat plain potato chips. I don't like them at all.
No, that's just a salt wafer.
Yeah, and at parties, it's always just plain. And I'm like, why? Nobody wants these.
Lay's plain potato chips ruined my childhood.
Today's episode of Super Good Question is brought to you by Lay's.
I have a bit of a question. It's more of like a nagging kind of thing that's just like eating away at me. I think about it a few times a day. And like, I don't know how to put this. Like, if you're at a party, it's basically the plate question.
The plate question.
When do you use a plate?
Okay.
Because, okay, we've all been in this scenario, right?
What's the scenario? A dip table?
A dip table.
Uh-huh.
Or just like a snack table.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's finger foods out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like paper plates.
Yeah.
Now, clearly the plates are there for a reason.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for you to defend eating with your hands in this social situation.
Now, I know what you want me to do is take a peanut butter square, take a plate, maybe even take a napkin.
Yep, that too.
Stack those three objects.
Yeah, you put the napkin like in your pinky finger, you put the plate in your thumb and other fingers. Food on top.
Right.
If you have a dip, you either balance it on the plate or you pre-dip things and then put them on your plate. Although I think that's probably rude.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
See, so based on what's in the spread, this has a lot of different ways it can go.
Right.
But let's say like little square sized desserts.
Mm-hmm. What are they made of?
Peanut butter and Rice Krispies.
This feels like a very specific situation.
And pretzel sticks.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I'm going to have these three objects stacked up in my hand for about a second and a half before I put the peeny bub square all inside my mouth. Okay?
Yeah.
And now I've got two stacked objects in my hand. I don't know what to do with
pretzels.
And now this party is ruined.
I see.
Because
you have a plate?
I'm carrying a plate and a napkin around. And there's nowhere to put it.
I feel like this was a failure on your part and your host's part.
Right. So my solution to the problem, I think we all know what's coming.
It's just
as I forego the two inedible objects in this equation, I stack several Rice Krispie squares directly in the palm of my hand, and we're all set for the races.
Did you do this at a party, and did someone call you out?
I think Naomi calls me out several times per party, just with her eyes.
I do think that the right thing to do is, the polite society thing to do is get a plate and a napkin, and then your host should have, a bin or, point you in the direction of one, I guess, but also, you know where people's garbage is. You can find that.
No! Oh, my God. That's a whole nother question. It should be under the goddamn sink, but everybody's got these new age ideas.
How well did you know the people at the party? That's a big thing.
That's true. You're gonna be more plate inclined the more of a stranger you are.
Yeah.
You want to make a good plate impression.
If you're with siblings and parents or whatever, by all means, stick your hand in the dip. Take that with you around to each item. Smear it on it.
These will be mine for later. Or some now. That is smart, actually.
Some now, this later.
Pre-dip some stuff. Come back for it. I'm going to write that down.
Spell out your name with salary in a corner of the table, and then put your items near that.
Also smart. Yeah. Also smart.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to list some food options, and you tell me plate yes or no.
Okay.
The setting is indoors, and they're friends from work throwing the party.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Slice of pizza.
No.
Agreed.
That's risky, though, depending on the brand of pizza, you know.
And
how,
if it's...
How holdable.
How many cheeses are on it.
Yeah. I would risk that one, though. Friends from work, right?
Yeah, not like...
We're familiar with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been there one time before.
If they have a white couch that I'm sitting on or something like that, always plate. Otherwise, I'll take the pizza in my hand.
It's a brown couch, but it's suede.
It's suede? I'm not even eating at this party.
Okay. So pizza's a no plate in general for you.
Yeah, I think okay. I could do that. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay, okay, okay. Nachos. They're pre-cheesed.
Are we... Nobody's sitting down, though, right?
No, it's all standing.
Yeah, you need a plate. You need a plate.
Okay.
Any nacho. Anything you're dipping, really, almost.
Okay. How offensive would it be to see someone just go up, take a nacho, and put it straight in their mouth?
Again,
and maybe I do that three or four times. maybe I stand there a bit and I string three or four nacho direct hand to mouth.
Okay. Yeah, a little offensive.
Okay. Just want to know where your line is.
But one sneaky one, you know?
Yeah, sure. Maybe you don't even stop at the table completely. It's a passing nacho.
Drive-by nacho.
Yeah, drive-by, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, plates for nachos, I guess, is fair.
Yeah.
Okay, cake pop.
No plate. No. Well, no.
Well, okay.
Plate.
It's small enough to fit in your mouth.
No, you can't take the whole thing, though. Yeah.
But if you don't, there's going to be crumbs. Yeah.
I can't take the whole thing. I can't take the whole cake pop.
Okay.
So I'm getting a plate.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be holding that plate.
I love that it's the worst fate that could befall you in life. You know you're holding a plate, though, after the cake pop's gone.
Here's exactly how that goes down.
Uh-huh.
You take the plate. It's a two-bite pop, so you bite it in half. You do catch a couple crumbs, which is the worst part, because now you can't lower the plate. You got to hold the plate level
Yeah.
to keep those crumbs on.
You're right. That's awful.
Two crumbs. It's like, so they're going to vacuum after the party anyway.
Your opinion is you should dirty their floor because it's too hard to move your to hold your crumbs and carry them to a garbage can.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do that.
Where do you put plates when you get them?
Honestly, I usually don't even remember.
Whatever hole you can find.
Yeah.
Furnace vent. Stuff it in there.
Yep.
Oh, inside the toilet paper roll.
Yeah. All smart. I thought you were going to say inside the toilet, like, bowl. Oh,
the tank. just...
Yeah. Someone finds 100 paper plates in the back of the toilet some night.
Why does it smell in the washroom? Why has it smelled since the party? Oh, fuck. Jeff put pizza in there again.
Yeah. You got a case of pizza.
Jeff, at least eat your crust if you're going to put your plates in the toilet.
Okay. Cake pop. You take a plate. It's wrong. It's the wrong answer, but
I'm pro plate. I'm so pro plate that you're disturbed.
Okay. How about angel food cake?
Obviously plate.
It's just a bigger version of the cake pop
with no stick. Are you gonna take a cake in your hand?
I would. When I have, just because of this episode, I'm going to have a party where I serve a cake and it's hands only.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a fun theme for a party.
Yeah. Okay. How about veggies?
Okay. Good one. This is a good one.
Yeah. Because I feel like the veggie, like the carrot dip,
yeah,
or the like a quick celery drive-by or broccoli drive-by is the most acceptable form of non-plated snacks.
Yes, just about. Almost everyone. It would only be better if there was no dip involved.
Yes, I was going to say that almost everyone accepts that a dipped veggie is like the safest place for dip to be for some reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true though, isn't it?
It might be. I don't know what could hold dip better than like a broccoli head.
Yeah.
Like that's basically a dip brush. That's nature's brush.
Even a celery stick, it's got the channel, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Just get the dip in there. Yeah. You can hold that thing forever.
It's got its own stick built in. It's genius.
I think if you could just throw a baby carrot in your mouth without dipping it, that's even more acceptable. Although it might actually tip the scales back towards weird because you're not dipping it.
Yeah, you can't do that too many times or else people start like asking questions about why you hate dip.
I think like in general, you should always, if you're trying to be polite, you know, mixed company of any kind, you should always take a plate and like make a meal of the stuff.
Okay, well, there's a whole etiquette to that too.
Eat that and then find a garbage can.
Wow.
Right?
It seems cumbersome.
Here, I have one for you.
It sounds very limiting.
What about a crock pot with meatballs in it and toothpicks?
Oh, perfect example. Because, yeah, this... I was just at a party that was doing this.
Yeah.
And... the thing is, the sauce has got to be a certain consistency to not drip when you take the meatball from pot to mouth.
Yeah.
And if it is, if you're good, then I'll do that all night. I'll stand there, my face over the crock pot with everybody watching. But if it's too drippy a sauce, I might put a napkin in my hand to guide, you know, to guide under
the
meatball to make it to my mouth.
You're so anti-plate. You can do that exact thing with a plate, and you don't even need to cradle the the receptacle awkwardly.
Yeah, but then I'm going to put the toothpick on the plate awkwardly. It's going to be all alone there, and I'm going to be standing there like an asshole with the toothpick on a plate.
Your biggest problem is that people don't have a huge garbage next to.
It also seems wasteful to just have that plate for that split second.
I honestly thought you would go environmental with this much earlier. I think that's definitely the best argument.
You're right. I should have played that angle much harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could easily convince many people to not have paper plates at their parties anymore and only serve food that you can eat with your fingers, and also stop getting mad at like manners about that.
Yeah. Or just have like a room sized paper plate. Just buy one, put it on the floor.
You just want to like be messy in people's houses. You want people to Dexter their living rooms so you can come over and just.
Hey, if you're not willing to make your house into a kill room, put in the effort for this party, then you're not a good friend and you deserve to have a mess made.
Okay. Yeah. That's an argument for sure.